Thanks for hanging out with us, tuning in with us, having fun with us. Jackpot Jerry.
Murphy's Law. With me again, my good buddy, Chris Kuhn.
It used to be much easier when we were just talking about barbecue.
Thanks to all of our watchers, all of our subscribers.
All right, welcome back. So season two, kickoff.
Can you believe it?
Thanks for joining again, always, man. I mean, the seat's permanently yours from here on out, my man.
We can't make this shit up.
So, anybody that's been following what's happened the last 24 hours, 48 hours, we're going to kind of go over a little bit what transpired with the Liquor Commission and then once again suspending our liquor license for
a record short
basically
time.
Basically about 24 hours is what it ended up being.
I'm really disappointed. They wouldn't let you keep this one.
Yeah.
Could it be because the last one got signed, framed, copied, and is now for sale?
Well, so it's really funny that you say that. So
they changed
the signs. Pay no attention to that. They changed the layout of the sign. They changed the way it gets applied. And now they're asking the investigators, or in our case, it was chief of police that came over and gave us our license back and removed the sign that was outside that everybody's seen. That one right there. So it's more of like a window decal versus the paper one that a lot of people have seen that is behind the bar. They made some reference that the commission knows that we have that hung up there.
Oh, clearly. I'm sure they're happy about it too.
So, I haven't even had a chance to really give you the entire...
No, it's been too quick.
The entire... I don't even know what to call it. Shit show? Ridiculousness? I don't even know.
Fuckery.
So, we have an episode of our podcast from June 29th from a Zoom hearing with the Liquor Commission.
Yep.
And the video is a sidebar with the Assistant Attorney General, myself, our attorney, Dave Delaney, and... the investigator from the Liquor Commission. So from that hearing, so the reason why I was at that hearing was in 2018, we took over and doubled our space.
The old Solly's place.
The old Solly's. Rest in peace. We ended up taking that side. So when you do that, you have to let the commission know that you're adding a space or doing what's called a direct connection. So there's an application to fill out and you have to provide documents, you know, architectural drawing. What else has to be in there? A lease agreement or something that states that you actually own or are controlling that area, not somebody else. Then the commission reviews that. Yeah, if they need to, they send an investigator out just to physically look at the area and make sure that it doesn't have a doorway into a kindergarten center or something crazy like that. It just so happens that December of 2020, when we decided to stay open against the health orders and they sent an investigator in, a lot of people have seen the body cam footage, some of our in-house closed circuit TV footage that we have of that exchange where the
good
investigator, Serpico, he was actually very, very nice the other day. He's in a different area now.
That's why he's nice. He doesn't have to deal with your
ass. Remind me, and I'll make another comment at the end here that I found out this morning, too, as well. I forgot completely where I was at here with this, but in this hearing, really what we agreed to was X, Y, and Z. When we took over that space, we applied, we gave them all the documentation. Then what they do is they turn around and they give you what's called a notice of deficiency. And basically it just means we need this item or that item, or if there's a fee attached that, because we also applied for a dance permit and an entertainment permit and all this other stuff.
God, it almost sounds a little bit like Footloose.
Yeah, seriously. Thankfully, there's no charge for those other permits. There's just an inspection fee of $70 for them to pull up our file and, basically pay somebody to do this additional work. Fine, great. $70 is a nominal fee.
Typical government shit.
To double our space. Yeah. No big deal. I was fine with that. So we submitted all that way back in 2018. At some point in time, they sent us a notification saying that they required some additional information. The problem, and we've had this problem before, the problem is when they send these notices out, whether it's via email or physical mail, there is no verification that the licensee gets that information, which I have a really big issue with, mainly because these notifications have civil and criminal penalties and fines attached to them.
Which you think they need certified mail.
If you don't show up, if you don't respond to one of these notices, they'll have a hearing. If you don't show up for the hearing, a default judgment is entered. So, you know, I kind of liken it to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're out walking your dog and you accidentally trespass on somebody's property without them knowing it, and they catch it on a trail cam, and you get pulled over a month or two later. And they run your ID, and the officer says, "Well, we've got a warrant here for your arrest for trespassing." What do you mean? I didn't. How is this? I didn't. What?
We just ran into that with
Burger.
Didn't you
check your email? Like, that's just not how it's supposed to work.
No, and we actually ran into that out back with the Hamburglar.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Because you know, and a certain someone had no idea that there was a bench warrant.
No idea. No,
yeah, you'd think something like that. They would actually want to make sure something is, you know, let's say certified mail.
Right.
Or served.
They're happy to spend money on the silliest of things, but they won't spend a little bit of extra money to send something certified mail. Again, these are things that have penalties attached to them. So that was a big part of it. So moving forward from when we took over that additional space, we'll set that aside. Fast forward to 2020 when we stayed open and the investigator came in and asked that we take our license. He took what was an expired license at the time because we had both of them hanging for an obvious reason.
And he ended up sitting in that additional space.
And he ended up sitting in the additional space, and that's when he noticed. And then when he left later, he went back into his file and noticed that we had a open permit application for additional space that was never completed. And then talked to my former partner and found out that I bought him out in early 2020 because he bailed during the pandemic, the first portion of the pandemic. And other extenuating circumstances as well. But I was happy to buy him out. We had an agreement set in place. And once you do that, we were both on the liquor license. You're supposed to transfer somebody off the license. Well, my understanding of that process is once that is completed, that's when you transfer the license officially with the commission. Turns out you apply for the transfer, and then once the transfer is complete, you give them corresponding documents to say so. I do not have any communication whatsoever with my former partner, so it was very difficult for me to get a signature from him. So Brad comes in, finds these things out, turns around, gives us a violation for obviously being open. We got that resolved, 90-day suspension. Everybody knows about yep. that. That's what this one is
the original
from.
Suspension.
That's what that's from. We served our 90-day timeout, paid a $600 fine. We moved on. Then they came back Insurrection Day in January of 2021. They came in, sent an investigator in, and again found that we were open against the current health department orders. We weren't serving alcohol, which is their domain.
Yep. Not Department of Ag.
We were just simply open. So they then cited us again for the same violation that we went to Zoom court and had a 90-day suspension. So it's kind of, I've likened it to double jeopardy, if mm-hmm. you will, right? The first time we were serving alcohol and food. The second time we were just serving food.
Which is when they went to the last paragraph of 2253 and pulled in the Department of Ag for the food license.
Right, exactly. They thought that was the best way that they could get us to bend the knee was to come in and take our food permit as well.
Didn't quite work that way.
We didn't capitulate when they took our liquor license, which is, I've always said, the big hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So then they go after our food license. You know, we did a timeout on that. Paid $2,100 or something. 14 days, maybe. We were
yeah,
closed,
a couple weeks.
I think. Something like that. So fast forward then, you know, we go through everything else with the health department. Judge Hunter knocks down the health law, which is now severed from health law in the state. contrary to what some people believe, it can no longer be used. So,
which, by the way, before we get too far away from that hearing, I want to remind everyone, this was the hearing where the Assistant Attorney General had no clue about 2253 being ruled unconstitutional, or really any facts of the case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
had
yeah.
no clue.
The June Zoom hearing?
The Assistant AG. Absolutely clueless that this guy somehow managed to become, but then again, Joe Biden's our president.
I mean, he's a clown. Yeah. I mean, he's a clown.
I mean, he had no clue what the hell was going on.
And we jokingly called him, you know, Assistant Attorney Avocado. You know, I mean, his demeanor, I mean, he's just, you know, if you haven't seen him, go back one or two episodes. We've got the whole, I don't think the whole hearing is on there, but a good portion of it. And since we're talking about it, I'll back up because I have a clip of it that is kind of telling exactly what is going on.
Brad, we'll get you everything that you need. How about that?
So this is the Assistant Attorney General right here. This is the Liquor Commission investigator. His screen is frozen, so you probably won't see him move much. He doesn't speak a whole lot. He doesn't have much to say. He's just there to verify anything from his findings. Our attorney, Dave Delaney, and of course that's my ugly mug right there. So here we are in a sidebar, June 29th, discussing the two of the three violations. A week before this hearing, they sent us a notice saying that that third violation with regards to the health department has been postponed. They don't give us a date. They don't even give us a reason why. They just simply say, this is postponed, but we're still going to discuss these other two violations. Me removing apart my partner, and then me adding space to the restaurant, basically doubling our space.
Which we have a pretty good idea why it was postponed with the midterms coming up.
Right. So we have a conversation in here about a court document that's called a mediation agreement. My partner and I went through mediation. We came to an agreement. I paid him X amount of dollars. That document was provided by the state. So they had that. They had that on file. So they've known that this has been transferred. I've never disputed any of that. What I told them is the reason why at the time when this original violation came around way back, I said it has not been completed at this time. He has not signed off. I do not have his signature. All I've got is this mediation agreement. Doesn't even have his signature on it. It says signed via Zoom in typed letter. And these people, the law, want to use this document as proof that I am 100% owner of the company.
And they accepted it.
We have basically disagreed and said, you know, I mean, in a court, that document would not stand up. There's amendments to our LLC operating agreement that need to be made, as well as there's an application that he is supposed to sign with the Liquor Commission saying, I give permission to sign over this interest.
Yeah.
Which is what we were saying, and we were arguing in this. They turn around and say that mediation agreement was not sufficient to prove that I am the sole owner, the sole licensee, as it relates to the Liquor Commission.
But yet, the entire time, it's not been an issue in all the multiple hearings and court appearances. It's never once been brought up as an issue.
Again, the only reason any of this transpired was because we stayed open in December of 2020, and they came in and tried to pull our license that day. We ended up giving it up four days later. So we're sitting here having this conversation about it may be difficult within 60 days for us to compel somebody to sign a document, right? I can't make Chris sign anything.
Especially when you don't communicate.
Right, especially when there's vitriol between partners. I mean, that just makes things even worse. So we have this conversation with Avocado, and he says, you know, I can appreciate that. I understand. If you have any issues, let me know. We can extend that deadline. At no point was it conveyed by either of these individuals that mediation agreement was sufficient. And all that needed to be provided was the interest transfer application with my signature on it and a copy of that mediation agreement, which consequently they already have.
Which they already had. And wasn't it like $200? I think it was like $200
No, not even.
Something.
No. It was $70 for this particular application. So we end up having all of this discussion, and at the end of the day, it comes down to the two violations, which I when I hit play in here, you'll just basically hear me say, listen, I'll take it. I'm done with it. It's $100 each. It's procedural nonsense, right? It's ships passing in the night.
It's going after the Mean Barbecue Man.
They have always had every single document that they needed. This is June 29th. So let me hit play. And there's something that everybody needs to hear if they haven't heard it, or if they can't read it. What he says mainly, I am willing to work with you. The commission is willing to work with you. These are simple administrative procedures that just need to be on file to make this whole thing work. So let me hit play really quick. Hopefully you can hear this.
Licensing, your attorney can contact me and I'll work with you too.
I was willing to work with you guys back when we started this, and then I never got a notice of deficiency that you guys needed more information. So here I am 2 years later paying $100 because of miscommunication. So I'll take the $100, I'll take the violations, just please don't waste any more of my time.
And you can see the look on his face. He just kind of starts, the arrogance is just, seething.
And he doesn't know how Zoom works, clearly, because he's looking at the monitor over here somewhere. But I like this. That was intentional, by the way.
Absolutely.
Clearly intentional.
And you can see, folks at home probably can't see it, but we actually have our unconstitutional order sitting up there as well. So this is the crux of the whole thing. He's sitting here saying, we'll work with you guys.
Have your attorney contact
me.
We'll get it done.
I paid $100 for the miscommunication about the ad space permit and $100 over the interest transfer, right? So we go back to the judge, because this is just the assistant attorney. This is a sidebar. We go back and say, this is what we've agreed to, 60 days. To get the required documents, which, again, they already had. They simply wanted me to resubmit them. We sit there. We agree. They enter the order. A few days later, or a week or so later, I get the order in the mail that says this, that, the other. Great. I pay the $200 off to Laura. Great. That's paid. All the documentation is sent.
Life
the only one I don't have is the one with my former partner's signature on it. Right?
Wet ink.
And I'm thinking, okay, it should be no problem. Avocado has said, if we need more time, great. Again, they conveyed that mediation agreement was not sufficient. That's why they agreed to give us more time if we needed to compel to get a signature. Right? It's the whole thing. So fast forward to Wednesday. Wednesday of this week, I get a phone call from my attorney, 9:30 in the morning. And he says, I just got a phone call from the chief of police requesting that I come down to City Hall. And he wouldn't tell me why. And then he says, you need to bring Ian with you. And he wouldn't tell me why. And thankfully, we have a great relationship. He also has a very good relationship with our chief of police. And he says, we're busy. He's busy. What's going on? What's going on? Well, the liquor commission's here. Now, this is 61st day at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. They're in Gaylord. These two individuals from the Liquor Commission aren't from Gaylord. They were here bright and early, so they had this ready and waiting. Again, they had everything they needed. So I get off the phone with my attorney. Dave and I, we meet up at City Hall, go into Chief's office, and we sit down. And I'm handed this document, ultimately. Right here. He says, well, you should have received this. And notice of deficiency, right? This is what I was saying in that hearing. The whole reason this thing is mucked up is because you guys never sent a notice of deficiency. I never received a notice of deficiency.
So yesterday was the first time you saw this.
The 61st day is when I saw this document asking for these certain items. One of these items has already been submitted. They simply needed it on the updated form.
It's pathetic. It's weak. That is so weak.
So these things, I go back, I fax them. Yes, I said fax. I fax them.
I'm like, fax.
Fax them off. They sit there and they say, you know, this is just administrative, you know, just submit the documents. First, there was some contention about whether or not how quickly they could be approved. And thankfully, I've got a brilliant attorney. This is what they don't need to be approved. The order just says submitted. Yes, we know the state does not act fast. So if we had submitted our paperwork on the 57th day and it takes them 4 to 5 days to process paperwork, I still would have been in noncompliance. He says, so it's just submitted. It's just submitted. All you have to do is submit that.
Well, not to mention, I'm correct based on our earlier conversation, not once in that Zoom hearing with Avocado was anything mentioned about 60 days and a suspension of the license immediately thereafter.
So what... correct.
That was never correct. Agreed to.
What was discussed was 60 days to get the required information that they needed. And they did not say exactly what the required information was, but somehow here on the 61st day, they know exactly what that information is. So you're absolutely correct. We said 60 days to get them the required information, but not an automatic suspension on 61st day. Like, that's just insane. For we had this discussion. Okay, imagine these violations were for serving minors, over-serving, prostitution, or gambling.
No, it's for that new dance
definitely
entertainment.
That would definitely fall under the category of send two investigators to Gaylord, Michigan at 9:30 in the morning on a Wednesday before a holiday weekend.
This is serious.
To come suspend a license. Those are pretty serious violations.
But it's worth mentioning again, it does say new dance entertainment permit. It's fucking Footloose.
It's so bonkers. So I'm sitting here in this meeting, and we have this discussion about submitting these versus being approved, whatever. They're saying this should be able to be handled within the day. Just get these.
So even
still,
9:30 in the morning, they're going, "Hey, no worries, no big deal.
No big deal.
Just get them turned."
I'm like, "How am I supposed to get a signature in a day?" And they said, "Well, you have the mediation agreement," and I about fell out of my chair.
Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know. Who's on third?
I was beside myself. I'm like,
"Then why are you here?"
I have it on video, like. We discussed that. Why would the Assistant Attorney General agree to up to a 45-day extension beyond the 60 days for a signature if I didn't need the damn signature?
And now the agents in the field are telling you, well, we don't need the signature. We have the agreement.
So here they are on the 61st day giving me new information and telling me contradicting information. And this is one of the guys that was sitting in that meeting, in that hearing. He could have said, "Ian, your mediation agreement is your partner's signature. That is the permission slip. Sign the 301 interest license transfer with your signature on it. That's handled. Get us the other document that you need." And consequently, you know what this other document was that they needed? It was simply a document that changes our current address of 143, so we now occupy two addresses, 139 and 143. All they needed was a new amended application stating our address is 139 and 143 West Main Street.
Instead, they spend how much time, effort, energy, and legal fees?
Yeah. I'm like, this is absurd. I literally filled these out in the matter of 20 minutes and faxed them off.
Especially like when you applied for the, I'll call it a new license, but when you applied to have license changed just in your name, we had talked about that because originally, I remember we had a follow-up conversation after that hearing that went fine. That's no big deal. But the original fine, they're still fighting, which is the one that's been postponed. The original.
Yep.
Because I remember you vividly had, you know, that's done. That's that over with. Water and
yeah,
bridge.
That was the 90-day suspension.
So when yesterday,
easily $600.
When I read down here yesterday when I got here and started reading it, I'm like, you motherfuckers. I mean, you realize how deep they had to go digging to find those two little things as a mm-hmm. reason?
Yeah.
They just can't let it go.
They can't let it go.
You fucking mean barbecue, man.
So we go through all of this yesterday. This is yesterday morning, Wednesday morning. Get everything filled out, get everything sent off, and then it's the waiting game and or chase your tail kind of game. We talked to, seven different people, not including the three other individuals that were in this meeting with my attorney and I. In licensing, in enforcement, somebody from Lara who handles, you know, payments.
Which, by the way, it's worth pointing out in case somebody didn't watch the earlier episodes, like the Gaylord City Police and Chief Clay's involvement, they don't want to be a part of this. But the way the MLCC operates is local law enforcement has to act on behalf of the MLCC because they don't have actual enforcement authority, nor are they peace officers.
So they have to work the executive branch.
Yeah, they have to work
which
with...
Which is who the Liquor Commission also...
Right. So they have to work with a local police department to enforce the rules.
And Chief Clay's has been fantastic.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do it.
You know, we've always tried and...
they've been here a lot lately.
That's clear. Okay, so we get everything submitted, and it's phone tag, right? You call, you leave a voicemail, you send an email... Just call, leave a voicemail. Who can I talk to? Oh, I'm going to transfer you to so-and-so. Hold on. What's their name and what's their phone number first before you transfer me, please? Because that's all they'll do is pass the buck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need to talk to my supervisor. At one point, one of these nice gals said, well, wait a minute. You know, he can't get his license back. There's still another violation. And my attorney's like, no, ma'am. That's been postponed.
That ball's in your court.
There's a postponement in there. If you look back, they just keep postponing it and postponing it. So, I mean, he's literally having to describe this thing to four or five different people exactly what's going on. No. It doesn't need to go through the entire process. It just needs to be submitted. All you need to do is Larry needs to tell Mo to tell Curly to let the license go.
Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
And thankfully, this morning, now Thursday morning, well, right around just before noontime, I got a text message that our chief of police was here. And Chief Clay stopped by, and he'd already pulled this off the window. He had it rolled up in his hands, and he says, you know, hands me a license, which is just a piece of paper that we print off the internet. And he hands it back to me. You know, it has to be displayed. By law, it has to be displayed. It goes up back up in the frame. And we chat for a minute. And, you know, he was very nice throughout the entire thing. And he says, you know, I have to take this. They want this back.
I wonder why.
And I laugh for a minute. And he laughed. We're laughing. And he says, you know, actually, this would be great. For like my home bar. He says, but they literally want it back. And we know why. We know why they want it. We want why they want it back. Cause, you know, we stuck it behind the bar. Did I put that picture? Yeah. It's behind the bar.
And it's been, you know, Ryan Kelly's been in that shot. I mean, I can't tell you the people that are proud to take pictures with that. And again, as a matter of fact, not only did you put it behind the bar and it was a birthday gift to you with all the employee signatures, but also full size copies are for sale.
Yeah.
I noticed somebody today. Yeah. I noticed somebody today is like, man, can I buy one of those for my bar?
Yep. So we're going to try and put the other one in a little format that kind of is similar to
that. Well, we got enough good pictures of it. We can.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, again, he was very nice and we chatted for a minute and he did tell me that the investigator from that originally gave us our license, Brad, all the way through the entirety, he did at one point, according to Chief, make a comment to him that he cannot believe that they were suspending our license over this administrative kerfuffle.
I can.
I can too, yeah. But for him to say that, and you know, we've given him plenty of shit on this show.
Oh yeah.
You know, some of our customers.
You give him plenty of shit in the back hallway.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
So if you look back in hindsight, and yeah, we said some nasty shit, but throughout it all, if you think back, he really kept us cool and stayed level-headed. Like, when you look back at it now and see, like, even through these hearings, he's not bashing. Other than, you know, some of his accounts, his memory of the events wasn't factual.
Yeah.
That was about the only real thing that I'm like, wait a minute, yes, you did.
A little more dramatic, really, than what it was, and he wanted to contradict things that made it sound like, you know, he wasn't escorted off the property, but he actually was.
He wasn't condescending to your employees.
Yeah. You know, I didn't go behind the bar.
He didn't refer to the, you know, those few patrons as peanut gallery.
But either way, we don't really have to. He's back in his home territory or whatever it is. And I don't have a lot of dealings with him anyway. I've never had dealings with the Liquor Commission before all this bullshit, you know, December 2020 anyways. But what shouldn't be lost on everybody is, you know, so I sent a couple of texts out once this did happen. And, you know, one of our state reps said, you know, what can I do? And I just said, shrink the government. Like, this administrator, we had to talk to 7 different people, 10 in total, from the Liquor Commission, just to get this thing handled. And I will say this. Thankfully, they did take the time to look at the documents, get them submitted, because I'm sure they have other things on their desks going on. So for them to take the time and get it shuffled away the way that it should have been 2 years ago, 4 years ago in one of these instances. But I will say I'm grateful that they took the time to do it, even though some of these decisions clearly were made in spite.
Oh, I mean,
when you have you know, an investigator, you know, kind of going, oh man, I can't believe they're doing this.
Well, and you got 2 people there at 9:30 at the local police department, which means they got up here. They started the day at 9.
They were ready.
Yeah.
I mean, he had that document.
They
were ready.
We know they stalked
social
media.
But they didn't come here, Chris.
So I was going to ask you, was it Frank that put the, or Chief
no.
place?
No. Our new area investigator did come over and place the placard on the window. At least he asked where to put it this time instead of putting it right over the open sign like they did last time. But
which I was thankful for, because it left it in a real clear area to get some really nice pics.
Yeah. So usually in these circumstances, what happens is Brad comes, or the investigator comes, the enforcement officer, I'll say, comes to the licensed premises as he did before, right? He comes in, he takes the license, gives the citation to whomever is, you know, on duty, a manager or the owner, if they happen to be there. And then they say, call this number. Or they will request that the local authorities come over and ask for the license. If there's any kind of consternation or any kind of, you know, any of that stuff. Thankfully, there's not with us. So again, I get this phone call to go to City Hall, and they're not coming to the pig. Now,
hostile environment.
I found that very interesting. They didn't even originally, like I said, want to tell us why we needed to be there. So
they probably got told what a hostile environment it was.
Some people know, and the chief knows, that we do have cameras following us. We are doing a documentary. We are doing some other things. And Chief has verbally agreed to part in it, because he has been involved in a lot of this. And I'm very, very interested in his point of view as, you know, a lever of the executive branch being stuck between Lansing and literally
not
the
having
a
choice
down the street.
Yeah, not having a choice.
They're two blocks from us over here. You know, and he said to me three or four different times, as some other law enforcement have, you know, if this nonsense wasn't going on, we'd be sitting there right there having a beer with you right now. There's nothing more that we want to do than be sitting at the bar right now having a beer with our friends, blah, 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 blah.
I remember having a conversation with one of them that was like, man, we don't want to be here. We don't want any part of this. And then off camera was, you know, wish, hopefully it works out for you. Wish the best. Wish it really works out.
Yeah.
Because they don't want any part of it either. I mean, it's just, but they have to.
And that was reiterated by both parties at City Hall the other morning that, you know, no, we got better things to do. We don't want to be here. Obviously, they have a job to do, you know, whatever. But, you know, I'm certainly not expecting them to not do their jobs. I get that luxury to be, you know, I'm a private business owner. I don't represent anybody but myself, right? Thankfully. which, you know, gives me a lot of leeway to be able to say, you know, whatever the hell I want and kind of do whatever I want, if you will. People, you know, once this happened, there were a couple of people that were quick to jump and say, oh, well, you know, you break the law has consequences.
You know, which I get so tired of hearing that shit. Hey,
that's so black and white.
Not only that,
pardon the pun,
you ever broke the speed limit? I mean, like, seriously, fuck off. It's basically going back to virtue signaling. It is.
And
you can't expect to break the law and get away with it. You can't pick and choose what laws you want to follow. Oh,
You can see their agenda coming from a mile away, and they have zero information other than the, you know, 20 seconds it took them to read, you know, whatever it was on Facebook.
Or listen to mainstream media. Yeah, how'd that whole masking thing and vaccine work out?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So let's take a quick break because we got one more thing I want to talk about before we get out of here today.
Need a quick word first from our sponsors.
From our dedicated sponsors.
Got to pay the bills.
Quick pause there to pay some bills. You know, one last thing I want to bring up. A lot of people have asked, you know, you have a GoFundMe account. How can we help?
Constantly.
You know, we have always talked about how, you know, what we've basically done for the last 2 years is raise money through selling our t-shirts. You know, brisket stuff, the hats,
the posters. The liquor license poster.
All that stuff, you know, that's our GoFundMe account. taking it to the next level, now that the Court of Appeals has decided to hear our case versus the health department.
Which means it's most definitely going to the Supreme Court after this.
Which, even if we miraculously were to win
the
against these judges.
Take it. Yeah. If the state wins, you're taking it.
Exactly.
So it's going all the way, baby.
Going all the way. So what we're doing is, you know, we've been talking about this fuel pass that we've been selling for the last, 6 months
NFT. Yeah.
What we're doing is we're re-releasing that again. We've got a whole new website set up that is live that explains exactly what the fuel pass does. It tells you exactly our mission, what we're trying to do, and how we're trying to bring more awareness to what it is that we're doing. We're not fighting against, but we're fighting for our business.
Which, and this address is going to be way easier for people to remember, too. I mean, this is way easier to get to.
Yeah. So this is it right here. It's fightformichigan.com. Fight the number four,
Michigan.com.
Michigan.com. We've got a lot of really cool things planned. Dave Landau, who we had for Fuel Fest.
Which he was great.
Hilarious. So Dave bought into the NFT when we first launched it. He has agreed to stay on as a brand ambassador.
And we're going to talk to him pretty soon coming up, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. He has agreed to be a part of this Fight for Michigan. He's a Michigan guy. The show that he is on, Louder with Crowder, Stephen Crowder, he's a Michigan guy.
Even though Dave, again, we're here.
A little bit higher on the hand reference. So if you get a chance, go check out fightformichigan.com. You'll figure out exactly what it is that we're doing, what we're fighting for. How you can benefit, because that's really what it's about, right?
That's the whole point.
What's in it for me?
An NFT is, again, a non-fungible token.
Yep.
I mean, so there's usually something to be had by the purchaser. In your case, it's you buy an NFT from the pig, you could benefit from any financial awards given to the pig. You could get a stake in the award went to the Iron Pig.
Yep. Legal fees.
Lots of benefits.
Anything, you know, we're in contact with Tudor Dixon's people right now. She actually wants to come out to the restaurant and we have a discussion about exactly what is going on.
That's gonna be fun. So
everything.
So Tudor actually requested that when she do come up and we do an interview, she wants to do it live and she wants to do it with an audience at the pig. So that's gonna be a lot of fun for us. I mean, it'll be fun for her, but it'll be nice to actually kind of do a live format where everybody can chime in both through Facebook Live or here in person, which I guess we're gonna have a lot of that.
Yep.
And just have a conversation with Tudor.
So Dave Landau's jumping on. Tudor Dixon hopefully should be around for that.
And we got Michelle Hotanga's a huge supporter.
We'll also be reaching out. Pardon me while I sit here and play with my. We're going to try and bring, you know, Matt DiPerno. He's running for Attorney General against Dana Nessel.
Bye, Dana.
bye, Dana. Dan. Christina Caramo.
Mm-hmm.
She's running against Dana Benson, Secretary of State. This event, we'll have a bunch more information in the link in the video right here. We'll have this website will be available as well, and there's a ton of information on that. Press releases regarding the stuff that happened with our liquor license, 24-hour suspension, all that nonsense. Probably a link to this episode as well. We'll have Dave Landau will be, you know what, I saw he did a skit for us the other day. I can't release it yet, but, you know, that Foursquare Zoom hearing, he did a skit where we kind of sub him in.
Oh.
And he's got this hilarious wig on.
You guys don't get to see it yet, but I will as soon as we're done recording this.
So he, you know, from the beginning, he's understood and believed in our mission of what we're trying to do and stand up for the small guy. And challenge the mandates and the emergency orders as they stand. We're happy to see his involvement and everybody else that's coming.
Well, it's good timing. You and I were talking before we started recording that. I'm drawing a blank for her name. Nikki Haley, former governor. Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina, former ambassador, been in politics for life. She's actually doing a basically Fight for America. It's a very similar concept, but she's doing it on a national level and she's doing the exact same thing that this fight is doing, which it's more and more people that are starting to stand up, which we've talked about before, this whole crazy overboard world we live in lately. There's enough people that are finally now starting to stand up and say, this is bullshit. We don't agree to this.
It's overbearing. It's overreaching.
Too much government. Now you got nationwide calls for, you know, even like with the stuff that happened recently in Mar-a-Lago, you got calls for people to start defunding these government organizations. As you just mentioned before the break, cut that shit back. You don't need that many people around where it takes that long to get through to people because it's just overstaffed and big government.
I'll tell you, Ralph Rabant.
Yep.
Go back and watch our interview that we did. Grateful to have him on.
I really like Ralph, too. I mean, he was a great guy.
one of his proposals, if he had been chosen and been elected, one of the things that he wanted to do, wants to do, is eliminate, what did you say, 10,000?
Yeah, it was
10,000 like or 100,000. I think it was 10,000 administrative, well, it was 10,000 administrative jobs times an average of whatever it is, $50,000, solves a budgetary issue for one.
And offering voluntary retirements and saying, okay, we'll just buy you out. You're, be done. Go away.
And shrink that administrative state. Those 10 people, 9 if you exclude chief of police, but those 9 individuals from the liquor commission, you know, there's 10 fingers on your hand and none of them can seem to talk to each other in these organizations. And that's just the liquor commission. Well, let's speak nothing of the Department of Agriculture, MIOSHA. Who else did we have that we had to deal with? The DDA and the city, which all boards. At least they're elected.
I mean, you had to deal with city council. You had to deal with DDA. You dealt with the chamber.
MDAR, Department of Agriculture.
MDAR, Department of Agriculture.
Yep.
Which is the food license.
So
the health department.
When you're talking about Nikki Haley's thing and where these things that are coming about where more, you know, we always talk about non-delegation and the separation of powers and how one branch is either taking or is using power in a way that it either shouldn't have given power, which is our case. The legislature passed the health law back in, what is it, 76, I think, 3.2253.
76
or 78. Really hadn't been used, and then they pull it off the shelf, and it just is being used in a manner in which the legislature hadn't intended. Well, and Judge Hunter agreed with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like the Emergency Powers Act, which got yanked with Carl the Barber. That goes back to when it was written, World War II?
1938.
Yeah, pre-World War II.
I believe
it was written in a time where...
You're talking about the EPGA, right? Emergency Powers?
Yeah, we didn't have we didn't have the Mackinac Bridge. And it was written because back then, obviously, communication was not what it is today with these damn things. But it would
that
take...
was for riots, by the way. I don't know if we've ever even talked about that.
No,
but
we
the EPGA was enacted for riots.
Yeah, because you think back to that time.
A lot of social unrest in the Detroit area in the
fresh off
of
Prohibition.
More than just in the late 30s.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, you had the Great Depression. You had the Roaring 20s.
And context is really important in the time and in which these things were enacted, right?
Which is important.
There probably was not a lot written as there is now about these things. So,
well, it's important to paint a picture. So if you think back then, just look at geography of the state of Michigan. So... I don't know how many delegates we had in the Upper Peninsula at the time, but you had to drive to Mackinac City, wait, and in some cases, like if opening deer, I read an article last week that the line to get on the ferry was 13 miles long in this picture that I saw.
Wow.
You had to wait to get on a ferry, get shuttled across the straits at, I don't know, 5 miles an hour back then, and then drive God knows how far up to the Keweenaw, up to Calumet to track down the representative. Do the same thing, get them back. So it could take a week, if not more, to make that round trip. So this was enacted to give the governor authority to make a decision until everybody's able to convene in Lansing.
Right.
But to try to use that in a day now where we have Zoom, Microsoft Teams, smartphones can reach anywhere in the world, not to mention all the other available
and fax
technologies.
Lines. Don't forget about fax lines. We still have fax lines.
Fax lines or emails.
I can't. So these things we're going to start seeing. We've already seen a few of them.
They're growing.
The big one that everybody is talking about and could be the undoing of some politicians, unfortunately, fortunately, depending on which side of the Dobbs, ruling. That to me, when I look at it, because I'm under the lens of everything, in a constitutional format.
Exactly.
When these things.
Which, again, we're pointing out, we're not conservatives, we're not liberals. I call myself middle right, you're a libertarian.
I'm a small government kind of person.
Yeah, I'll vote for everything the best candidate is, because both sides have gone too crazy or too far in some directions. And, like, I think you were talking about the Dobbs case, it's like, we jokingly talk about this sometimes, that the Republicans can still fuck this up.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest ways they can do it is taking such a harsh pro-life stance and not bending at all.
You into, know,
it's this is my of, belief, but you have the belief. Believe what you want to do.
It's kind of like, you know,
and this is tough. You don't really get this far.
You get an old pickup and manual transmission. For you kids, that's 5-speed. You know, the stick on the floor,
hand shaker,
the clutch. There's the 3 pedals on the floor. I know it's
confusing. They don't know. They don't know.
So, and this is the way I liken it to the overarching theme of what we're talking about, where they can potentially screw this up. They're missing a gear. Like, you know, they're third trying to drop it into fourth, and, you know, you just can't get. It's like you're screwing it up.
Yep, you're screwing it up. You're grinding the gear.
The one thing that I do agree with is that at the core of that particular case with Dobbs, as I agree with in the EPA ruling that recently came down and the January ruling, the same day our Judge Hunter ruling came down, which was the vaccine mandate case, that basically was ruled unconstitutional in the exact same way, just saying they did not have the authority to be able to do such broad-reaching
things. Now, take that and apply it to the Dobbs case. Everything in the past, well, I would say probably, 8 months has been, you can't tell me what to do. It's unconstitutional to make me do what you want me to do. You can't tell me or force me. And unfortunately, some of these conservatives have taken a stance of, I want to force you what to do. That's how you're fucking this up. I mean, you can't, I mean, learn from recent mistakes by the Democratic Party. You can't tell people what to do and force them, or you're out.
Or maybe it's not as black and white, and this applies to both ends of the spectrum. Maybe it's not as black and white as you wish it were. And it really is for some people, and it really isn't for a lot of people.
I'll say that's the minority.
And my worry is they're disenfranchising some of those people that are in that gray area, and you're going to scare them off, and you're going to, because Whitmer's still up in the polls in this state right now.
Yeah, she is. And you know what?
She's the incumbent, so there is that. But people are systematically forgetting some of the things that happened.
Well, and 4 months ago, it was, as you know the term, we've all heard the term, it was a red wave. There's no question.
Yeah.
That come midterms that the GOP was taking, Republicans were taking the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
Now it's like, we'll get the House. But
Bill Maher mentioned it on his show last Friday. He was talking about it. And he actually specifically mentioned the abortion issue is probably
which
what...
Which, that's a big one. I mean...
Potentially going to drive those purple voters, if you will.
Well, and I consider you and I both those purple voters. And as a matter of fact, there was a... I actually had signs in my yard for one of the gubernatorial candidates. And after hearing the statement on abortion, which I get it, you know, some may think we don't even have a right to talk about it, but we're on your side too. But as soon as I heard the statement, as far as personal belief and opinion, I was like, I told Ian and Mark the next day, I'm like, took the signs down.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't. And I'm a guy. I'm like, I can't. I mean, do the smart thing. Agree with your constituents, the people that vote, the people that put you there.
Yeah.
Don't spit in their face and go against what the majority views as normal. You can view whatever you want and think however you want, but don't try to force your way on everybody, which is why everybody on the far left is losing everything right now, because they're trying to force us all. Wear your mask. Get vaccinated.
Bananas.
It just doesn't stop. I jokingly tell people every day that I'm like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you think, you can't get any more fucking worse. And you turn on the news and go, what? What?
These other things that are happening. So, you know, ordinary people don't know about the Supreme Court ruling with the EPA.
Which was a really big thing.
It was a huge thing. They basically were saying that the EPA, as a administrative government agency, doesn't have the authority to enact laws as it relates to greenhouse gas emissions, regulating greenhouse gas emissions, I think is really what it is. There is a case happening here in our state that is challenging MIOSHA. MIOSHA came in to an architect's office over in Alpena and cited him for not requiring and not having a COVID action plan for his employees and not require basically the same thing that they came in here to us and did.
Which, mind you,
now... But it was under OSHA, not the Liquor Commission and not the Health Department. They empowered my OSHA to come in and do this. So we battled with the Liquor Commission and capitulated with them because the Liquor Commission was not the one that created the mandate and the order. They were the hammer.
Yeah, they were the
hammer. One swinging the hammer was the health department.
Yep, under the direction of the governor.
Over here now,
governor's office.
It's my OSHA who came in and gave the citation citing the health department's.
Now, this is my OSHA whose primary responsibility, and that's why they lost the battle with the Supreme Court and the vaccine mandate.
Mm-hmm.
This is the company that's responsible to make sure that your employees don't get killed by getting run over by forklifts or cinder blocks falling on their head, to make sure you wear hard hats and protect your eyes and
yeah,
not to be used as a weapon. They are weaponizing the government on a federal, a state, and local level. They are weaponizing the government to
use
as arms.
They tried to come in when the pandemic first started. They tried to come in to job sites, to contractors, to GCs.
I know. We know one, a contractor.
You can't have more than 25% capacity of your usual. You know, there's one person allowed per 24 square feet.
Are
you serious?
A customer that we both know, a local mason.
One
mason
person
work.
To a golf cart. You can't touch the flags. No yeah. ball washers. No, well, the rakes I don't mind.
I
so
couldn't.
Much,
no boats with motors.
Boats, yeah, we all remember the boats with motors.
Well, you can't go.
Everybody loves a good motorboat.
You old sailor, you.
You old sailor, you.
There's certain movies, but you know, I mean, this is fun because we don't normally get off and start looking at some of the.
Oh,
other...
I'm gonna get the emails and the phone calls.
Oh,
on
fuck
that
yeah,
one. Oh my god,
you motorboat son of a bitch, you old sailor, you. We can get into Step Brothers next, but I mean, it's fun.
My drum set?
I will stab you in the neck with a knife. We go with one-liners all the time around here, all the time. But like, it's so crazy now to look back and like going to a store and not being able to buy paint,
yeah,
or clothes, or outdoor patio furniture when we had to be outdoor, but we couldn't go buy patio furniture. All because, but you know what? That's the funny thing. Now we look back at it. It made sense to us, but hopefully it makes sense to more people now. 85 people can touch the same fucking box of cereal that I end up with, but I can't touch a gallon of paint, which nobody in the store touches a fucking gallon of paint. That's the least visited part of the box store.
Pretty good point.
But yet I can pick up as many grapes out of a bag and eat them, and who knows how many hands have been in those grapes, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and we now know the majority of that is all bullshit.
It's all bullshit.
And hindsight's 20.
Yeah, the CDC is what, this was a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, where the CDC basically came out and said, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, you know what? We done fucked up. Masks don't work. Vaccines don't work. Do it. Don't do it. We don't care. Get used to COVID. It's going to be here.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we thought the entire time. Fortunately, we were right.
I think that's what some governors in red states, Republican governors, have been saying for a while, that those exact things.
Well, know, Governor DeSantis, prime example.
Yeah, exactly.
And Governor Abbott in Texas, same thing. Which you see some of the shit he's been up to lately.
Yeah, I have.
I like that. And
they are well aware. I think they're seeing the signals that our federal Supreme Court is sending. They are saying our Constitution says X, Y, and Z. It doesn't have any specific language for this.
They're not
so
negotiable.
We're going to give it back to the states to decide this. Or they're saying this administrative agency has been given way too much power.
Mm-hmm.
EPA,
they've taken too much power.
EPA, Michigan Liquor Commission, MyOSHA, MDART,
so,
all these people.
Good point. I mean, on the federal level, it's the executive branch, the White House, which is now using the EPA and all these other branches, the DOJ, the FBI, to do the same shit in our case, or your case, of which Governor Whitmer has used the Health Department, the Liquor Control Commission, MDARD,
right,
using MyOSHA.
Because they can.
Yeah.
Because they're all under the executive branch.
But they don't have the authority.
See, you know, we had a list at one point, or one of the podcasts we did with our attorney, you know, he we have a list, and just the ones that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
But there's a crazy amount of administrative agencies just in this state alone. It all goes back to there's so many of them. It's bloated. We're paying way too much. They're tax dollars. And it just kind of, it's one of those things that these Republican governors are seeing what signals are being sent, right? Separation of powers, right? They need some kind of intelligible principles to guide some of these things. That's the other thing that we're always talking about. And that's why the EPGA that you brought up earlier didn't survive. You know, it was necessary and, you know, I got it written down somewhere. Reasonable and necessary.
70 plus years ago?
Is what didn't survive with the EPGA.
Because it was written 70 plus years ago. It was reasonable and necessary then. It's not anymore. What the hell?
And it's the words reasonable and necessary are very vague and ambiguous. Given the fact that we have people that are looking for ways, because they didn't just come across this health law. They dug and found this health law and had it ready and waiting after the EPGA was knocked down in October.
Weird, kind of like the MLCC dug to find those two things to suspend your license yesterday.
So I got to back up because I'm now remembering that the architect case, MyOSHA has a similar health code. They didn't cite the health code over there. They cited a MyOSHA code, as did some of the health departments and school districts with the mask mandates.
Yep.
They cited school code. So there's some things inside the school code, and the words in the school code are safety and welfare.
Yeah.
So there's, again, a lot of ambiguity to the word safety and the word welfare.
Well, and as a matter of fact, when it came to the school code, there's actually wording in there that said any device that would restrict restrict breathing. Any device that would restrict breathing,
right?
They couldn't do.
Enact procedures in 2253 somehow was interpreted as 6-foot social distancing, masks, sign-in sheets.
Even though their own policy said you cannot
anonymous NARC lines.
Oh, that's the worst. You still deal with that.
I do still deal with that. But
by the way, we're doing another Europe episode soon because
FOIA requests are incoming. I want to see what has been going on with this anonymous. So the Liquor Commission has always had one. They have an option where you just click anonymous. Great. We're going to FOIA them as well. But the health department is the one that I really want to see. I want to see how people abuse that so much against us. And again, never once a recorded instance of COVID-19 in the Iron Pig since the whole Fargan thing began.
Was it, are you trying to watch your swearing?
Fargan? No.
That's kind of awkward. Weird.
I was hoping you weren't going to notice.
Fucking weird. But, you know, it's like, I think it was a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, that a couple came in, allegedly ate and got sick. They thought it was food poisoning, even though they ate like a half dozen restaurants, but they knew it was Iron Pig. But weird, the first thing they did was call the health department to lodge a complaint. Never contacted the restaurant, never contacted the server, never. But they're from Ohio, too.
Georgia.
Oh, Georgia. From Georgia.
From Georgia.
From Georgia, all the way up northern Michigan, way, way northern Michigan. They thought to call our, four-county local health department to file a complaint. What the fuck? Try something new. I mean,
it ended up being tied to the Wendy's.
To Wendy's.
Which, miraculously, you haven't heard a whole lot of a lot,
no, isn't
a lot
weird
about
how
it.
That happens?
I don't even know how the line is still out to the road at some. Anyways, I'm not trying to pick on.
But Wendy's, just funny that allegedly people from.
Could you imagine if there was an E. coli outbreak tied to the lettuce that we served at the Iron Pig? Holy shit. Motherfuckers would be out front with
burn the pig.
And exactly. You know, give me a break.
Well, we already know you're a racist anti-Semitic.
Oh, it's proven.
It's proven. You're anti-rodent. You killed a family of 5 mice blind walking across the floor. So, I mean, you hate people with disabilities because the mice were blind and no one was a family. So you're against a nuclear family. just shit. I mean, thank you all, you trolls, for the endless hours of entertainment. And that's the funny thing. Like, you know, sometimes people give you shit for the reviews. They're like, yeah, it's harsh. I'm like, well, no, it's not. It's pure entertainment. Because the shit is so outlandish that, you know, you're doing something that every business owner, I can speak from experience, wants to do. But they don't have the balls to do it.
The sheer amount of pearl clutching
is off the charts. Every time one of them does it, for every one of you trolls, there's another 200 people that jump on and follow the pig.
Did you see Bob the other day?
Yeah.
So Bob just out of nowhere, you know, shared a post from Governor Whitmer about how she supports small businesses, and we shared it.
You're welcome.
And basically just said, oh, I wonder if she would come support us standing up for the Constitution. Because people really forget that that's what.
Well, and according to her campaign commercials, is she's helped so many small businesses.
So we shared that, and of course, somebody comes along and says, "I'm never eating at your restaurant." American flag emoji.
Oh, thank you in advance.
And it just kind of became one of those things where. You know, typical kind of meltdown sort of thing, and he just exposes himself as just a nasty, just angry. They're, you know, I always say this, they're just angry. And what's really funny is a couple people kind of caught on to it, and you know, like don't be a Bob. So we started the hashtag don't be a Bob.
Yeah, it used to be a Chad, don't be a Chad. Now it's turned to a Bob.
And what's really funny is. There is a tide now, if you will, of servers and restaurant managers and owners that have kind of had enough, you know, of the overbearing.
We've seen that over the summer with the tavern in Charlevoix.
Yeah, and
Shorts Brewery.
Shorts again. Shorts, you know, was doing it in the middle of 2020, and when it that's why. I always say when it really started, that nastiness where people would come in here and shout at people, and we'd actually never had anybody shout in here, but I've heard some really nasty stories. We got plenty of people that would one-star review us. I didn't see a single person wearing a mask in there, you know, that kind of thing. And it, we still get those kind of people, but it just has nothing to do with masks. It just has to do with us, you know, either, I hate this terminology, clap back. Can we find a new nomenclature for that? Yeah, I hate that. It sounds so ghetto.
It's the clapback.
But I mean, that's just what we do.
So going back to Bob, and this is a fun thing. Like every time, so I challenge those of you that watch the podcast. So we talk about how the audience grows. So if you go to the Pig's Facebook page and check out the followers, okay, just take that number. And throw in some of your other favorite local eateries, establishments, and take a look at the followers. The difference is directly not because of the barbecue or the food. It's because of these assholes. As a matter of fact, like this is one of your patrons or one of your supporters. I'll get rid of the names. But this is a response to Bob. I don't know if you can see that, but you fucking cry, baby.
I did see that.
Yeah. That's a funny thing is every time one of these people try to signal their virtue, 55 other people jump in and go, piss off.
Where has everybody's sense of humor gone?
So if someone slaps back, you're going to start saying
counterblast. Counterblast? Does that sound kind of porno-y to you?
Yeah. No.
Master blast. Wait, counterblast?
Counterblast.
No, that's terrible.
No, that's not going to work for us. It's...
It does.
It's got to be something more along the lines of fuck you.
Exactly,
it's got to be simpler. Fuck you. Ride it. Been sitting on that one, haven't you?
Been sitting on that one.
Oh, there you go. Been sitting on that one. If they watch the podcast, it's not an inside joke. Well, yeah, it is. No, you know, we showed that.
So I've been throwing this one out a lot. Here, you drop this. It's your sense of humor. You lost it when you picked up that giant bag of how important your opinion is.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is.
Well, not to mention
my opinion is so important that how dare you say anything back? You're a business. You're a business owner.
You need to take my criticism and kiss my ass.
You should just take it.
Everybody needs to know.
Just take it and make yourself better, will you?
You killed my grandma.
Thank you, random person on social media.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to realize nobody gives a shit what you have to say or your opinion. I mean, like, you had 2 weeks ago now, a couple that these fuckers had the audacity on a busy morning to march to the front of the line in front of, I don't know, 15, 20 other people to bitch and raise their voice to the cashier over slimy fucking eggs. Okay? So they felt their needs were more important than the other 20 people that came here for breakfast to talk about their slimy eggs. Then had enough effort and energy on their way back home to their mama's fucking basement to not only write reviews on Facebook, but Yelp and Google. And not just the husband, but the husband and the wife on Google, on Yelp, Facebook.
Have you looked at our Yelp lately?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't.
I spend a lot of time, so I mean, I look for entertainment value wherever I can find it.
It's
but I know I can always go to one of the review sections.
I don't even go to Twitter anymore.
Oh fuck no!
Twitter is so disgusting. So Twitter is so and vile,
so controlled and so fake. The bots and the
people are just so angry at everybody, and they just like the worst of humanity is. In the Twitter sphere.
Yeah, but for those of us that consider ourselves somewhat normal, I guess, if you use that term, which, fuck, we're far from normal, but they don't realize how much comedic value they're providing to us. I mean, there's times where I'll literally turn off the television and just start looking at some of this shit.
Oh, they triggered me.
Oh, triggered, yeah.
Oh, I triggered you so easily.
How about the one last week that, and so you know, I'm a millennial and I own my own house.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
That was a weird one.
Good for you, golf clap. What do you say? I'm going to rely on the Gen Z generation to dismantle your weaponization. What the fuck is that? You didn't graduate high school. You're building peanut butter pterodactyls in your own fucking basement instead of your mom's. Good for you. Get off the Facebook page. Keep scrolling.
It's so gross. Get a job. I don't know.
Get a job where you have to work in an office. How about that? Quit working remotely.
Well, what we need to do is collect a few of these. And what I really want to do is a live. I'd love to do some kind of live and like have our fans involved.
Yeah. So if you're watching this,
do something.
We want to see your comments. So what we're thinking is
at least once a day, I get a meltdown. I had two the other day, and the finality of the entire puddle, if you will. Is when
puddle of emotions.
It's terrible.
Stop up your puddle of emotions.
It's terrible. It's like, oh, they think they're so funny, and then it's like, oh, you think you're so funny with your memes and your gifs, and it's like,
just know we're splashing.
I just know it. It makes you upset, but yet you see that notification when I respond to you, and it's just like,
we are splashing in your puddle of emotions with rain boots.
And then the ultimate thing is at some point you think,
fuck you,
yeah. Yeah, well, you can see the mild insults, you know, ignorance or idiot or nope. These kinds of things, which just, oh, I'm crushed. I'm so crushed.
But
by
they
them.
Ultimately get to the point where they'll go, fuck you, I'm taking my ball and going home.
That's the one. And then
block.
And then block. And then block. Yep.
Oh.
Or what they'll end up doing is, they'll remove their review or their non-recommendation as it sits on.
I just figured out who they are. Billy Madison in the basement, the guy putting lipstick on with the list of
Steve
names.
Steve Buscemi?
Yep. The list of people to kill.
What is the song that's playing? Yeah. What is the song that's playing?
Oh, we'll have to come back for that one.
That's hilarious.
That's the person that's complaining. Yeah, you could. If only you had a device.
If only there was a thing you could search in Google.
Yeah, and you were
searching.
Camera.
I just watched that stupid movie yesterday. Anyway, but not that one.
But yeah, it's just such
entertainment. So let's get some of these together. I guess I'll go look at Yelp. I haven't.
And
I haven't really had the time to look at Yelp.
No, and like I started to say though, for those
TripAdvisor,
of you,
there's a few.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. I didn't check that one.
I don't really check it, but once in a while they'll send me an email and says, oh, you got a new review.
So if you're watching this, give us an idea what you think, because we'd really like to go live. And our thought right now is to read these reviews out loud, and as you're watching, let you guys chime in and tell us how we should respond. We'll respond live. And you know what? I mean, we're not above calling people's phone numbers, which we have. Unfortunately, she, who pretended to be a he, didn't answer. We got the voicemail.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we got the voicemail.
I'm talking about that one.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the gal that was calling the restaurant like 12 times a day.
No, I'm talking about the gal that watching TV.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I'm trying to play this.
Let's bring up Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, no. Saw it. Pretty good.
Really good.
It's worth buying it.
Watch it three times.
You're welcome for the free promotion.
Like Tom Cruise.
Checks in the mail, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, we would really love to be live and get you guys' responses as to what we should say to these people.
Is it working? Get it? Just tell me what
you know.
No, I'm not going anywhere. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
So
it's not that
I never thought about this. So on Messenger, I know, which is how most of these
need a better producer.
Respond, you can video call people.
Oh yeah.
So we could even potentially have the ability to video call people during the podcast live.
Sure.
Game on.
Sure. I have absolutely no problem with that.
Oh, that'd be
I want to
hear more
people,
of the rants.
I want people to see.
I want to hear more of the rants.
I really want people to see in real time. And it honestly needs to be studied. You know, they're already doing studies on how social media has impacted virtually everything, right?
Yeah.
So with the lockdown, which is still, I don't understand because I wasn't locked down. But people being locked inside their homes and, you know, the nastiness online and all this other stuff and the level that it's become, really is a psychosis.
Did you hear about the Fauci effect?
No, well, I've heard that before, but...
I brought it up to you before. So we had a failed episode two that we're kind of improvising right now, we're recording, but the Fauci effect, when Dr. Anthony Fauci announced that he was retiring, he said, have you heard of the Fauci effect? Now, I can't take credit, but this is for the people that are coming out with an interest and integrity and honesty and the truth that are entering the medical and the scientific field in the name of Dr. Anthony Fauci. He actually dubbed the phrase the Fauci effect.
Oh, my God. I need my pillow. Where's my Fauci pillow?
I left my Fauci comforter at home.
What a weirdo. What an absolute weirdo.
The Fauci effect. Well, maybe. Maybe all these people writing the bad reviews are suffering from the Fauci effect, where they're searching for the truth. This is the same guy that said you get AIDS from eating the same box of Fruit Loops as a family.
What?
You didn't know that?
No.
So Fauci was still involved and in charge back when AIDS became a pandemic.
Yeah.
And one of his early recommendations was that families not eat out of the same box of Fruit Loops because they could contract AIDS.
Is
it's
that
true.
Would it? What? How do you even get the correlation?
Well, look at what we just went through in the past 2 years. How do you get the,
well, yeah, I mean, I certainly can't argue against that. I don't even know. That's insane.
But pre-internet, I mean, anything was possible pre-internet because there's no fact-checking.
Well,
no
yeah.
independent fact-checkers. No algorithms.
No Facebook fact-checkers.
But no, true story. Look it up. He,
you're
he,
fired.
Yeah.
And nothing on Fruit Loops and AIDS.
Oh.
I only hope that Mike picked that up.
Nothing on Fruit Loops and AIDS.
Careful what you type in.
Yeah.
I've got nothing on Fruit Loops and AIDS.
Fail.
Soundbite of the year. That's how we know he fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know what? That's probably a good way to end this one right here, right?
Yeah. on that note,
I ain't
we're
got
out.
Nothing on Fruit Loops and AIDS. Zero.
T-shirts coming soon. Iron Pig merch.
Are you glad we upgraded? You know, we've put all this, you know, we put tens of dollars into upgrading
tens of dollars.
Our studio down here.
And we have our very own Misfit Studios labeled room.
Oh, my lordy.
That, you know, that's something else we should do one of these days.
What's
is
up?
Do a mobile tour of the pit. Because there's a lot of people that don't know about the subterranean level.
Yeah, we've got quite the square footage around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the bunker, the green room.
There's so much shit going on down here.
It's a city. It's a city.
We'll see what happens with when we can get Tudor Dixon here and some of the other stuff that we want to do. We've got the capacity to do a lot of things. We've upgraded our equipment,
lots
our camera
toys,
and stuff.
Mobile mics, mobile cameras.
We've got the documentary that's in development. We had had plans to try and get... we've got approval. It's been such a crazy summer. You know, we had been talking about...
It doesn't feel
about,
like we've had a summer at all.
It really doesn't. I'm trying not to think about that either. But, you know, we're trying to get around to producing...
sitcom.
A reality show.
Sitcom.
Now, especially with The Bear being so popular on Hulu, if you haven't watched it, if anybody hasn't watched it,
if you've ever worked in a restaurant
or if you've ever been anywhere adjacent.
Oh, God, and what's that movie with...
It's great. Waiting?
Yeah.
That's the other one. It's Waiting with a little bit more drama to it. Well, a lot more drama to it, honestly. But really
good watch. I mean, if you're looking for something to binge watch, I mean... I killed the whole thing in one day.
I joke with everybody. I just want to call them Jeff now, and I don't even, you know. So we've got some other things, and now that the season's starting to, you know, come into fall and we slow down and don't have, you know, the craziness of all the festivals and everything, we'll be able to get back into a little bit more of that. Plus, I know with the Court of Appeals thing coming up and Supreme Court and the election, a lot of that stuff... I'm trying to facilitate getting the three main candidates to participate in some kind of Q&A, either individually or all together or something.
Not necessarily in a debate.
Nobody's agreed to in a debate.
No, they haven't. So
she hasn't.
Mean, so basically, the thought is to do like kind of a town hall, but with everybody in the state at the same time. Because if you watch the last GOP debate. It got really shitty, in my opinion, because it was just like dagger throwing left and right. I mean, which is one of the things that can tear them apart is doing
it's
that
sound bites. It's like that's
yeah, you said back on this date back in November.
Unfortunately, that's how we debate, and I'm not terribly old, but
oh, you're old
debate class in high school. You know, there's decorum. There's mm-hmm. You know,
not
certain,
anymore.
There really isn't. And, you know, part of that is because of your orange Cheeto King.
My, don't you dare say my orange. Grab him by the, yeah.
It's a big, huge deal.
Big deal. Get, very big. Very big deal. But the thing is, like, you know, I was listening today in one of my shows that they were talking about I can't remember who the speaker was, but it made sense. And we share this thought. Like, if the GOP nationwide... any Republican candidate, doesn't matter what position, just sticks to what got him here over the last 2 years. COVID, lockdowns, mandates. Stick to that.
Yep.
You will win. Get off any of your personal high horses and stick to why people are pissed.
Yeah.
Which is government control, period. That's what it comes down to, everything.
Not letting your kids in class, keeping them at home.
Do you remember when our local high school
or
principal
not putting masks? You know, whatever.
Remember when our local principal saw it fit to call the local law enforcement to the high school?
Yeah.
To a bunch of 17 and 18 year olds that refused to put a mask on.
Yeah.
The high school principal called the police.
Yeah, they were.
Oh no.
Peacefully assembling.
Mm-hmm. They were asking for their work. They were doing their work as required.
That was a bummer. I remember that. I kind of had forgotten about that.
Imagine being a high school student and that being your senior memory.
No
football, no prom, no sporting events.
Yeah, my niece had a little bit of that. You know, her first couple
my daughter.
Years of college. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
different.
Yeah, there was no...
The proms and the... All the athletic games that weren't allowed.
All the conventional high school memories. That's not to mention, like, the think about this. There was kids that entered kindergarten that have been in school for 2 years and have never seen their classmates' face.
Yeah, that's weird.
I can't imagine that.
No.
They've gone 2 years, because thankfully we're old enough that we can make our own choice, and we chose not to the entire time.
Yep.
These kids didn't have a choice, so entering kindergarten, which is scary enough.
Yeah.
And going through 2 years of never seeing your best friend's face, or your teacher's face. Never seen a smile.
Developmentally, it's just not, it's not good either.
No.
I mean, all the other stuff is just, yeah. There's a lot that they need to be reminding voters about.
Well, and the other they need to be held accountable
and the,
for.
And the purple ones.
Yeah, the purple ones.
You know, the purple, you know, I don't know if somebody needs to get a friggin' campaign going on that or not, but...
Well, and we need the other party, the GOP, which...
Stop being so friggin' red and blue and just get it...
Quit being so fucking righteous, get off your personal principles, and start thinking about what the people want, which, again, we are a country that we've forgotten about as a government for the people, of the people, by the people.
I've heard that somewhere.
Somewhere?
Yeah.
Long time ago, I think it was written.
Yeah. But your drink's about empty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah. We've wrapped this up probably 4 times already now, but
yeah, now we're done.
Whatever. It's what we do. Whose rules are we going by?
Ours.
Ours.
We do what we want.
Haha.
I do what I want. I do what I want.
All right, man. Thanks for hanging out with me once again, my brother.
Our
appreciate
pleasure.
It. We're going to put a wrap on this bad boy. Thanks for hanging out with
us. Catch you next time.
We'll catch you next time. For Chris Kuhn, I'm Ian. Thanks for joining us. Murphy's Law.
Dick 1, Dick 2 out.